The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
We're in Oxford for the second hour of our program. Always great to say hello to Sean McDonough when we can. We don't see him too often in person. And, of course, Todd McShay, who has been nice enough to be with us often. Guys, thanks for being here, Sean. Seen you a few times. I mean, there are worse places to be on a late September day.
Both of my fans are back here. Thank you very much. That's for McShay.
Sean McDonough, I mean, of course. Boston Red Sox, hockey.
When you have to beg him for a response, you know, it's a lot of nice people here, and this is unbelievable. Last time you and I were together on this set a couple years ago, it was smoking hot. This is a perfect day.
Yeah, this is unusual. I mean, it can be. And Todd McShay. Yeah. Not everybody at once, okay? Yeah. Todd, let's start with Will Levitz because we talked to him the other day, and everybody has had a lot of nice things to say about him.
I mean, there's very little negative to say about him, right? I mean, physically, you look at him, he fits the mold. He's big, he's strong, he's mobile. He has a big-time arm. I don't think people, because so much of the offense last year was short, intermediate, I don't think people realize how big of an arm he has. And some of the throws he makes, like the post route against Florida that they needed, for the one big play that they hit in that game that I was at, it just kind of off balance without driving through. So he has everything physically. He's still fine-tuning things. He's in a pro-style system this year where he's going through progressions and really starting to pick up that game. What I love about him is there isn't a single person in that building or on that campus that would say anything negative about him. His work ethic, his intangibles, the way
like
he attacks the process.
Well, wouldn't you say, Tatu, it's way beyond that. You know, it's not just they say all the nice things that you frequently hear. This is the most impressive player I've ever coached.
This guy's different.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah. I mean, it's on both sides. When we were with the Ole Miss coaches this morning, you know, they were raving about him. Now, obviously, they don't know him as a guy.
Right.
But, you know, the parts of it that Todd talked about, the football parts, I think fans can evaluate a lot of that on TV. But the way they talk about him as a leader and as a person and his work ethic and competitiveness is way beyond what we typically hear.
And I think if you go online or social media, if you're looking forward to the NFL draft, which we're talking a lot with Levis, is that it's C.J. Stroud from Ohio State, it's Bryce Young from Alabama, and then kind of the other guys. It's not the case when you talk to people in the NFL. It's Stroud, Levis, Young, maybe in that order. Some people I've talked to in the league have Levis as the number one quarterback in this class. I just think the narrative needs to get out there because it's different from what is really happening right now. I think people have to know that this guy is legitimately a potential number one quarterback in this class.
And I don't know anything. I just watch you. But this seems like a really strong quarterback class.
Yeah, it's those three at the top, and then there are a bunch of other.
That was hard for me to come up with, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's why I think tomorrow is a big day for him, right?
Yes.
Because a lot of people, college football fans, you know, the NFL people know about him, but certainly in the college football world, a lot of people don't know much, if anything, about him. And now it would be a highly watched national TV game, we hope, tomorrow, we expect. So, you know, it's an opportunity for folks around the country, maybe even Heisman Trophy voters, should we say, to become aware of him against a really good defense.
I don't know where you went to school. Actually, I do, but you know how to sell a game.
Well, that's part of the reason why we're here. Other than spending time with you, which is always a treat,
and
being with
well.
These nice people on a beautiful setting on one of the great campuses in America. We're really excited about this. You know, we had our meetings this morning with Ole Miss. We did a Zoom with the Kentucky people the other day. That might be, on both teams, the best meetings that we've been a part of, just
really?
In terms of the information they gave us, but just the quality of the people. You know, there were people you wish you could have spent more time talking to, and a lot of times you wish, how much longer are we talking to this guy?
Yeah, and you're looking for information. You're looking for anything you can get to fill up not about a five-hour window. I'm not asking for this is your life, but, I mean, how bad can those meetings get? No names, of course, unless you'd like to give them to me later.
Well, some coaches clearly don't even want to be there, or even players, you know, when they come into the room. That's fine. I think we've both gotten to the point, having been in a lot of these, that if that's the case, don't push it. I mean, don't keep asking them questions if you're just going to get yes or no or I don't know. But what struck me, too, and I was just about to say that, Todd, you know, a lot of times you know going into the game, this coaching staff really thinks they're going to win.
Right.
This coaching staff really thinks they're in trouble and knows they're in trouble.
Yep.
Mike Godfrey used to call it the tight foreheads when we meet the coaches of the team. And the thing I came away with from these two groups of meetings was both of these teams really think they're going to win.
Yeah.
You know, they really like their teams. They don't think they've played as well as they're capable of yet this season. And maybe with a step up in competition tomorrow, it's going to bring out the best in both of them.
Yeah, and I think both teams have a lot of confidence in their quarterbacks and have a lot of confidence in their defenses, too. I mean, Jackson Dart, the thing that really jumped out to me in the meetings today, and I've watched him on tape, and he's a young quarterback, has not played a lot of ball, but he's getting better every game. And both the head coach and the offensive coordinator, and even when talking to Dart himself, you know, they recognize that he has made huge strides, and the talent's there. So I'm excited to see him now in this big stage opportunity in a huge SEC game. Does he take that next step?
Yeah. You know, and that was another takeaway from the meeting. You know, he's clearly the starting quarterback now. As the folks here know, there was some question if he was for the first couple weeks. That's gone. And you think about everything he's been through. You know, moved to a completely different part of the country, learned a completely different style of offense. He's never played in an RPO offense before. You know, he's out of the air raid. So he had to learn all of this, all the new teammates.
And different hunting here, too.
Different hunting. He's a hunter and fisherman. I think, though, and Todd would agree with me on this, I'm sure, the biggest takeaway of the meeting with Jackson Dart is he has a brother named Diesel.
Diesel Dart.
And that's his actual name. It's not
jealous.
A nickname.
He's mad at his parents.
Yeah, he's mad that he's not Diesel because he was older and they named him Jackson and then the younger brother Diesel.
Can't get this stuff anywhere, you know.
We wasted all our good stuff today.
Yeah.
We got to save it.
Don't worry, our audience isn't that big.
Oh, yes, it is. Every time I'm on this show, I have a lot of people tell me I saw you on there with Paul.
I want to go back to, and you know me, I'm always looking for some gossip, but. So you're talking to a coach, and do you know it's going to be a bad day when they say, you know, if we have a perfect game, we think we can maybe keep it a two or three score game? I don't think they ever say that.
But a lot of times you get the list.
We've got our hands full.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're going to have to do this. And we, you know, in all candor, and it wasn't said off the record, so, you know, our conversations with the South Carolina people a couple of weeks ago when they played Georgia. And they were realists,
but
right?
But you feel good about that because Beamer's a energy,
and you also appreciate the candor because, you know, we watch the tapes and we like to think we know a little going into it. And I certainly lean heavily on both Todd's for their football sense of it when we go in. You know, we knew it was an uphill challenge.
Has anybody
for
ever
South
said,
Carolina.
Off the record, we have no chance?
I'm not sure ever in those exact words, but a lot of times it comes about as close to that as it can be.
In other words,
Paul Chris once told me right before a game, the day before a game in walkthroughs that look at all the five stars. I have no idea. I mean, he was pulling my chain, but
sure.
He was like, I don't know what we can do to win this game. And then they went out and beat LSU the next day.
Todd, I mean, you're looking at a lot of things. I mean, but you know, Sean's saying things that are okay for public air. I mean, how forthcoming are these guys with you about prospects and about ability and things that really matter to someone who's doing evaluations like you?
Much more forthcoming when it's January, February, and March. You know, and that's when they'll really tell you. And it's also, there's right now with so many juniors coming out and underclassmen coming out, they don't want to talk about prospects in that regard. They want the focus to be on the season. I want the focus to be on the season. And then I can dive into all the other character things and some, you know, just how they work and those sorts of issues. But
that's what I thought was interesting because Kiffin came here and I was a minute late. I was at a collective press conference. And you're like going, this is a guy that doesn't need to be at a collective press conference the day before the biggest game so far this year.
But you need to because NIL is a huge part of the future for all of these college football programs. The interesting part about your last question, Paul, and I've been with Todd when this has happened, where we've walked away from a meeting, and Todd felt the coach was kind of almost underselling the player because he doesn't want him to leave.
Right.
You know, Todd McShay says, well, if he goes, he's definitely a first-round pick or a second-round pick. The kid knows his credibility. He's probably going to go. Where the coach, you know, a lot of times, well, I really think if he stayed another year, he'd really benefit from the experience. And sometimes that's actually true. But a lot of times it's just, I want my guy to stay.
Sean McDonough and Todd McShay. Todd, I know you have to evaluate, but can you divorce all the noise? Because no matter what you say about a player, it becomes an explosion on social media. And then they'll throw it up against you.
Yep.
You gave me a really honest answer a couple weeks ago. I asked you about Van Dyke at Miami. And you were cool. I mean, you said, but – I'm like, oh, I thought the guy was supposed to be a first round, because somebody has said everybody's a first round pick at some point. But you give a very honest, objective response.
I feel like it's my job to make sure that I'm giving the honest answers and not trying to sell somebody,
right?
Because it's not fair to the young man, and it's not fair to the process. So I mean, Anthony Richardson coming into the year, everyone was talking about if he has a great season, he could be a top 15 pick, right? And he hasn't had a great season. He struggled. He had that first great game against Utah, and the hype train started. And everyone's, oh, he's going to be a top 10 pick. And, maybe he's the first overall pick. He's that talented. But you've got to look at, he completed 33 passes coming into this season. He had started two games. You've got to play the game. Tyler Van Dyke played a lot last year, but it was in a different system, and now he's adjusting the system. So they're first-round talents. But I feel like it's my responsibility to make sure people understand, like, just because you have the talent doesn't mean you're ready. Like, Will Levis is ready because he has the talent and he's mature enough and he's played a lot of ball.
Let me ask you about another quarterback who's in the conversation all the time about everything, and there's still doubters. Stetson Bennett.
I've talked to a scout this week who actually said, you know what, coming into the year, based off of last year's tape, seventh round, free agent, just, I love the way he plays, and I love all that. And he said, watching this first few weeks, and I know he has so much more talent around him than the opponent, but he's playing different. He's bigger, he's stronger, he's more aggressive, he's more decisive. And it looks like, he said, I haven't seen him live yet, but it looks like the ball has a little bit more juice to it. And so I love players like that who have kind of fought all the adversity, have overcome everything. Everyone says, well, if they could win if it was a different quarterback, if anyone but Stetson Bennett, and then he goes and proves everyone wrong, and then he comes back the next year, and he's playing even better. I love guys like that.
We were getting ready for their opener against Oregon. You're still reading, they won in spite of Stetson Bennett,
yeah.
Some of their fans were saying. I think, to Todd's point, he's definitely better. To me, it's hard to judge based on this limited sample, because he is throwing – a lot of these perimeter passes, short and intermediate passes, to guys who are wide open,
right,
and
yep,
are super talented. I mean, you and I could complete some of these throws. So, yeah, I think when we get into SEC play, we'll find out. I wonder, Todd, from a next level standpoint, he's going to be 25 years old, I believe.
That's true.
He's still 5'11". Now, there have been short quarterbacks.
There's a shorter quarterback right now when you're –
I've learned over the years. You're either going to be the starter and get a chance in your first contract as a first-round pick, maybe an early second-round pick, or we're now looking for great backups and maybe once in a while, once every 3-4 years, someone who emerges as a late-round pick, undrafted player at that quarterback position. But it's all really this year's class. I said it before: Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud, Will Levis. Those are the clear-cut top guys. You're drafting them, giving them $25, $30, $35 million guaranteed in their first contract to be your starter. All these other guys we're talking about, it's either potential, Anthony Richardson, Tyler Van Dyke, or can they be great backups for us that maybe one or two of these guys develop into a good starter?
Like
David
Bennett, Bennett's going to win on intangibles, right? I mean,
right.
Yeah, because there's no question. You talk to him, and you have, he's a leadership guy, rah-rah guy, players rally around him. I wondered at the beginning of the year, thinking of Georgia, Jake Fromm. A lot of people thought Jake Fromm was going to be a good pro, and then he just didn't, as you know better than anybody, you got to have enough zip. The windows get a lot smaller. When Stetson Bennett gets the NFL, McIntosh and Bowers,
right,
and those aren't running free all over the place. The windows are tight. There's very little separation. So, I think the question to me that he needed to answer is the arm strength.
Absolutely.
Part of it. And I agree with you. I think he has a little bit more on the ball than we've seen in the past.
Before you go, because they have a huge game tomorrow at Arkansas, the play of Bryce Young this year, how would you evaluate it?
I think he's been great. I really do. We talked about it last time I was on with you. They do not have the perimeter speed. You talk about Henry Ruggs, Jerry Jeudy, Devontae Smith, Jalen Waddle.
Does that matter?
Jameson Williams, and then
Metchie. Watch the NFL.
I mean, it's not the same on the outside. As an evaluator, you love this. Okay, what are you going to do now, Bryce?
Okay.
Can you carry this team? And so far, he's been great, but there's going to be some moments where they have to overcome that, and it's going to be interesting to see what Nick Saban and what that coaching staff are able to do when they try to game plan, because they don't have the same matchup pieces that they've had the last, 5 years now?
Yeah, I mean, you can go as far back as you want, really.
Yeah. Right. And my question on that, you said early, I think it probably jumped out to people, that some NFL people you've talked to have Levis ahead of Bryce Young right now.
Yes.
Guy was magnificent last year, won the Heisman Trophy.
And Bryce Young is special.
Is it size more than anything?
It is size. Mm-hmm. It is size. And everyone said, well, you know, you look at some of the smaller quarterbacks in the league, but they're all kind of thicker and built. He's lean and shorter.
He's small.
I talked to a scout.
Relative to most.
Russell Wilson was 5'10 and change, but he was big and he's big and thick, and he was 214 pounds.
Bryce, 5'11"?
A scout I talked to said they had him between 5'10", 5'11", and at 186 pounds he weighed in that day this summer.
Yeah, when comes in the meeting room, now he's a great player. I mean, I don't want anybody to think. I don't think he's a fantastic player.
It takes someone who's unique and special to overcome those things.
And he's those things.
I think he's those things. I really believe that.
Yeah. From the very first game. We had their game in the Chick-fil-A in Atlanta, the opener last year against Miami. And the very first drive, you know, wing, right down the field against the Miami team that started the year last year. Stop me if you've heard this before. With a lot of hype. and the hype lasted about two Bryce Young possessions marching up and down the field. So no, he's got all of it except
back
the size, and
I
don't think that'll hold him back at all.
It's so great. I could do that. I feel like we're literally –
we make this a weekly segment.
We're at a bar in your neighborhood.
Yeah, we have the same neighborhood.
Yeah.
The great Commonwealth of Massachusetts.
I might have trouble getting in with this southern drawl, but you guys could – I'll drop your
welcome.
Name at the –
You're welcome. Great to see you.
Yeah, great to see you, bud.
This was fun. It's thoroughly enjoyable. And I'm sure I say that after every guest, but sometimes I fail to. But I mean it here.
We enjoyed it, too. We're all talking about subjects we love. So there you go.
No better. Sean, Todd, we are back. And we have another one on deck, Jordan Rogers.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
And welcome back. We are, of course, in Oxford all day. What a sight and what a scene it has been and what it will be tomorrow morning as we have an early game. And once again, it's Johnsonville's gridiron guest, and there are some things that are just automatic. Jordan Rogers.
Jordan Rogers and a Brock.
How do you manage that every week? Are you a I mean, do you have some in with the guys?
I'm not getting any free sausage links or anything to the house. I might need to talk to your guys over there. How do you feel about Vespas, Paul? I just saw a Vespa go by in the Grove here.
Oh, really?
You a big Vespa guy? I feel like that's kind of your vibe.
Yeah, it could be.
Just let the hair flow in the wind, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, right.
Anyways, yeah, totally.
So here we are, Grove, Kentucky. By the way, Todd McShay just talked about Will Levis.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how much you heard, but, I mean, he was just effusive about where his upside is, saying that he put him in the same category with C.J. Stroud and Bryce Young and said he could even go higher than Bryce Young in the draft. I realize that's easy to say on the final day of September. But
It's the age-old adage, right? I mean – you're going to have people. And speaking of Bill O'Brien, Bryce Young, if he was 6'4", he'd be a generational talent. Yep. Like Andrew Luck, Peyton Manning type talent. You're going to have general managers and coaches that are going to go to his pro day, and they're going to get a little scared when they stand next to him. Honestly. which is crazy because you flip on the film, there's not one thing that you're like,
right.
He can't do this or he can't do that despite his size. Arm talent's there, pocket awareness, football IQ. I mean, everything's off the charts. But you're going to have some general managers go to Will Levis's pro day, and you're going to see him throw the ball 75 yards downfield and stand next to him. He's a big dude. He's athletic, and they're going to fall in love with that. So right or wrong, he's going to be up there in that conversation. I will say when I always go back to the film, and Will is improving, no doubt. Decision-making is improving. Accuracy is improving. His physical traits, as Todd was talking about, are off the charts, absolutely. I mean, he had a throw last week where he's backpedaling, and it was actually an incompletion. Throws it about 60 yards off his back foot on a dime, dropped in the end zone. So people are going to fall in love with that. But what works in the NFL and what works playing the quarterback position? Decision-making, accuracy. It's what it always comes down to. And Will has a ton of upside, but decision-making accuracy last year were things we questioned. This year, he's absolutely improving. Where he is at the end of the year, yet to be seen. Right now, I'd still lean towards Bryce, but he'll be in that combo.
It's a good neighborhood to be.
Yeah, not bad.
Let me run around the SEC tomorrow because there are a lot of big games. And the one in Arkansas getting the most hype, everybody's saying the same thing. I know you look at the
tape. What are they saying?
Well, it's typical, scary, who knows. I mean, nobody knows what to make out of Arkansas coming out of A&M. That's a
right.
There's not a template for how you recover from a bizarre loss.
I look at the film last year because when you're a coach, first thing you do, you're going to go back and watch your tape last year. You're going to go back and watch their previous games, right? Last year, Bryce threw for 560 yards and 5 touchdowns, and they won by 7 points. Now, here's what they did last year. It was Arkansas was a ton of drop eight last year. Yeah. Three-man rush. They kept everything in front of them. And Bryce was able to just sit back there with time and pick them apart. This year, Arkansas and Barry Odom have been different. They have guys like Drew Sanders who can get after the quarterback and speed off the edge. They're much less drop eight zone eyes. They're much more man, which hasn't necessarily behooved them very well, right? They're a bad pass defense right now. But the one ingredient to making Bryce or getting him off his game has been pressure. I mean, we've seen it 7 sacks against A&M last year when A&M beat him. Auburn was close to beating him 4 sacks, got after Bryce. That's what Arkansas has to do. But when you do that against Bryce Young, you're living on the edge.
Okay.
That's what you got to do against Alabama, right? You're going to get some hits on him. You're also going to leave some guys open downfield. So Barry Odom's going to live on the edge in this game. And I honestly, I'm not going to just pile on here, I do see there's a lot of ways this game could go and a lot of ways that Arkansas could make this a really, really competitive football game.
The rap on Alabama, we heard it from a minute ago from, I think it was Sean and Todd, compared to all the talent that they don't have. In terms of what they do have on the perimeter, just the whole offensive explosion, I mean, are you seeing improvement from the beginning, or is it still
a little bit? I honestly still believe that early on there were plenty of opportunities and Bryce missed. I think the chemistry was an issue early on. Now the issue is not do they have the talent, because I think guys like Kobe Prentice, Isaiah Bond, two true freshmen that are getting a lot of time, they're just young. The chemistry, the timing, like when there's a hot route, their eyes aren't getting there quick enough, right? When their eyes aren't getting there, or the break's a little off to what Bryce is expecting, the talent is there, the chemistry is not there yet. So that's where you go, if I'm Arkansas, I want to come after Bryce and make him make those decisions quickly, and more importantly, make those receivers understand when they're hot, when I have to break off this route because there's pressure, right? What the protection issue is. Are we protected? Are we not? Can I run my route to the full stem? Do I need to break it? Those are the things that I want, if I'm Arkansas, Alabama to be confused tomorrow. Whether they can do it or not, who knows? But there's talent. They're still developing.
A&M heading to Starkville. I mean, this is a team that we've run out of adjectives. Should they get out of there with a win? If they get out of there with a loss, then the narrative switches to next week with Alabama. But what did you learn about them in Dallas last week?
Not much. I learned that their defense is really improving.
Okay.
Right? I mean, we all talk about these 5 stars on the defensive line. It's not that. It's the sophomores, the redshirt sophomores, the 2- and 3-year guys that didn't have a role last year that are improving and becoming players. Shamar Turner's up there, Fadil Diggs, guys that are becoming players. Now, some of the true freshmen are getting some snaps and having a role, but the defense impressed me. Here's what I'll say. If I'm a defensive coordinator against A&M, I'm licking my chops because A&M is one-dimensional. Right now, Max Young in his 2 starts has 2 completions on balls thrown beyond 10 yards. 10 yards. So if you're a defensive coordinator, you go, they're not throwing it deep. I'm going to load the box, and not only are they one-dimensional in the standpoint of they're not going to stretch the field vertically, Devon Achane, without Anaya Smith now because he's gone for the season, he is their best running option and their best receiving option. So you know where the ball is going to go. Look, the big conversation was could Achane replace Spiller and be an every down back? He can, because he has 355 yards. All the other running backs, 25 this year. It's A-chain or nobody. And without Anaya Smith, now it's A-chain or nobody through the air as well. Evan Stewart's a good player, but they are one-dimensional, and that is a problem for A&M, especially against a defensive coordinator like Zach Arnett, who's going to bring some pressure. He's going to play those safeties down. His corners are really talented in coverage on the outside. I don't love the matchup for the Aggies, but we learned a lot about who they are and their DNA when their back's against the wall. And I think Jimbo did a great job, and it wasn't a pretty job last week, but did a great job of getting his team to fight through adversity and pull one out.
Yeah, and when the other team's helping you, it makes it even easier, doesn't
totally.
It?
Totally. Yeah, I mean, when they hand you the ball at the 2-yard line to go score
a
touchdown.
I know this conjecture because football is a game of all kinds of change, but had Arkansas finished that drive, which everyone thought they would, what do you think would have happened?
Completely changes it. And honestly, it's the hardest thing to explain to someone who has never been in those games and understand that I've won plenty of games where we've won by 2 or 3 touchdowns, and I've lost games where we've barely lost or lost by a ton. And these games can go either way. If Arkansas scores that, they're up 3 scores. It changes the way then A&M has to call their offense.
Right.
They have to depend more on a guy that is not a pass every down, drop back pass kind of
guy. The odds of them winning change
drastically,
not even on the charts.
Drastically. So that's football, though, right? I mean, you play the game 100 times, and depending on 1 or 2 plays, it can be a big win, a close loss, a big loss. There's just so many ways that game could have gone, and it really hinged on that one play.
Great stuff from Jordan. We'll head to Columbia, a game you're doing tomorrow with Tom Hart. We were able to get him out of
there. Yeah, unfortunately, got to go with those guys again. That'll be an interesting one, huh? Georgia looks pretty good. We may have some things to talk about in the second half. You want to come on?
It's my bowling night.
You're a bowler?
No. Jordan Rogers joining us. We appreciate it, Jordan. We'll talk to Tom Hart coming up next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We're live in Oxford. Busy afternoon for fans enjoying the Grove and, of course, the Square. We head to Columbia, where primetime tomorrow night, the Dogs, the number one team in the country, take on Missouri. And that's where we find Tom Hart. Always good to see you. Tom, before we start with you, we want to replay a moment from last week when we were talking to your colleague, Cole Kublik. Water started hitting him from the sprinkler at Bryant-Denny Stadium. And Tom, I thought, you tell me, you're the broadcaster, I'm just a bystander. Thought he handled it pretty well, professionally.
Here's what a lot of people don't know about that incident, Paul. I was in the truck during this moment, actually wearing the headset, producing the segment. And Cole was fully aware that water was coming. Said, are you going to be okay? Are you pretend to be a former offensive lineman, but we haven't seen game film in some time, so are you sure you can play in wet weather? My idea, Paul, was for him to actually lay down on the field and find a puddle and lay down in that. But trying to make TV the best we can.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I mean, you're the pro in that group with Cole and Jordan. But do you have to coach them, tell them how to handle these moments, or are they immune to your advice?
You know, Paul, I feel like we're like any team, right? We all have our strengths and our weaknesses. We lean on Jordan for fashion advice. Every game I show up with two or three ties and a couple pocket squares, and I let him do what he does. If we need security or beef, Cole's our guy. He always goes to the front line. He's our lead blocker. We need it. And I just fit in wherever I can. You know, if that's picking the restaurant or making sure we got the proper directions, telling them how to make magical television, I'm willing to share my wealth of knowledge with them.
Before you go, your thoughts as you get ready for this game tomorrow night, the Dogs, you know, they're coming off of a weak performance by their standards. Missouri, there's no way to describe what they're coming off of. I still can't figure it out.
Well, Eli Drinkwitz's team is literally on the field right in front of me. I'm up against the wall at Faurot Field. I don't want to turn the camera around to give away any game secrets, but they've never beaten the number one team in the country, in the AP poll. Now, go back to 2010, they knocked off Oklahoma. Game day was here. They set a game day record with 18,000 people in the quad. Oklahoma was number one in the BCS rankings at that time. And Missouri won the game. How did they do it? Well, they had an NFL first-round pick, Lane Gabbert, a quarterback. But more importantly, and perhaps most importantly, they got off to a great start. They returned the opening kick for a touchdown. And the confidence built from there. This Missouri team, heavy underdogs in this one, only one win in the series history against Georgia. They're going to need one of those big plays. Maybe it comes with special teams. Maybe it comes with their five-star receiver, Luke Burden. We don't know. It's going to take one of those to begin with to get the momentum to hang in with the number one team in the country.
Tom Hart joining us from Columbia, as he'll be on the call tomorrow night. We appreciate it very much, Tom. Thank you. We head to the break here. We're live in Oxford, Mississippi, as we have had a busy afternoon here. Started with Lane Kiffin, Tim Tebow. You heard Sean and Todd, and we'll continue bouncing around other games on a very exciting weekend as week five of the season has arrived. We're back right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hey, welcome back. We're live in Oxford, Mississippi on a spectacular afternoon and a great weekend of not only college football, but a commemoration of history. As we tell you who's coming up, we'll talk to a couple of reporters, Nick and Michael, and then, of course, Laura will be here, McGee, the usual folks, on a Friday afternoon in early autumn. And we are delighted to say hello to Sean Boda, me, the Vice Chancellor of Diversity and Community Engagement here at Ole Miss. Sean Boda, thank you for joining us. And I mentioned the football game, but there's a lot else going on here as we were talking off the air. And it's for those of us old enough to have been alive at this moment in history 60 years ago, it's breathtaking to think about what is going to happen here tomorrow with the commemoration of James Meredith.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. So I've had the pleasure of serving as the chair of the 60th anniversary planning committee, and have gotten to know Mr. Meredith and his family really well over the last year. And we are, as a university, we're commemorating his enrollment, 60 years, which has been incredible throughout the entire academic year. But this week in particular is our week of commemoration. Tomorrow, October 1st, marks the actual anniversary of him successfully integrating the university, and we'll be recognizing him during the football game after the first quarter.
And I'll leave it for you young people to study the history of the moment, but the idea of thinking about this moment 60 years ago is still pretty chilling.
Absolutely.
When you consider the backdrop and the environment and the toxic nature of the South and Mississippi in particular. Getting to meet him and being around him, you were telling me that he's been treated like a rock star, which is just jaw-dropping.
He has. Everywhere we go, we've built in extra time just to move around campus because every, you know, students, Mr. Meredith, I think just the significance of what he did for this university, to change this university for the better, opening doors for generations of students to follow him. So it's, you know, simply saying thank you doesn't feel like enough, but so many people want that opportunity just to say thank you, to give him take a photo with him. And he's so gracious with his time. He's always willing to take that photo, to have a conversation. And so, yes, he is really beloved on this campus, and everybody's been really excited to honor him this week.
Sure, but I know maybe because history is, you know, one of my studies in school, that you look at the big picture of history in thousands of years or hundreds of years. Mm-hmm. 60 years is not a long time.
It's not.
To think about
it's not
where we are right now and what was going on back then.
Absolutely. I think about my parents actually were born in 63, so, you know, only a year after he was allowed to enroll here. So it's not a long time. And we've actually met individuals throughout this planning process who were alive at that time, who, you know, it meant so much for them to also be able to be back here. So members of the U.S. Marshals, some of the administrators and local community members who were alive at that time, former students. So it's still, I mean, it's that's one of the things that's been so special, is that he's a living legend, right? And we're grateful to have that opportunity to have him here with us.
And Sean Boda, I know there's something you work with always, and it's mm-hmm. such a critical part, but I wonder, because as a young person, when that was during this era, I really couldn't understand what had happened previously, whether it was the Holocaust or a war or mm-hmm. what do young people think when they hear this story, when they meet James Meredith, when they're reminded and taught about the history mm-hmm. of this university?
Mm-hmm. You know, I think this week in particular, all the students that have come up to him, he got to meet some of the student athletes yesterday, the football team, and the story is just really the same, is that Mr. Meredith, just thank you for what your bravery, for your courage, for giving me the opportunity to be a student at this university. So I think it really just means a lot to them. And that's why they're so honored to have the chance to meet him.
Let me ask you about your own parents, because, mm-hmm. you know, here you are, a child of them, born in this moment. Mm-hmm. You're a vice chancellor mm-hmm. at the University of Mississippi, and you're in charge of this momentous. I have to hear this.
You know, I did earn my doctorate here, but I didn't go much to undergraduate here. And I never imagined that I would be at the University of Mississippi, but we've been here for 8 years. It's been an incredible experience. And this moment in particular, having to get to meet Mr. Meredith and work so closely with him, had just meant so much to me personally. And it's, you know, for him to come to my office in the same building, which is the Lyceum, that was really the epicenter of right. all the riots and all the violence and the, you know, chaos that ensued. And now I get to sit in that building, you know, and work every day. So it certainly means just so much to me and my family.
When you see, Sean Boda, the video, the newsreels mm-hmm. of that time, we just have a couple of seconds left. I'm particularly interested what goes through your mind thinking about the passage of time and, and this moment in time.
Yeah, it's, you know, the progress is really incredible. As a university, we've made significant progress. And because of that moment, the university has worked, you know, very intentionally to make sure that we are now a university that is open and welcoming to all individuals. And for me, I think that is also what Mr. Meredith, you know, really appreciates and values as well, that, you know, it didn't stop when he enrolled, that the university has been working. And there's progress that's certainly been made. We, of course, there's always more work to be done, but there's been significant progress that's been made over the years.
And I think the great thing about James Meredith, you know, he went on to get a law degree. He became, he was an activist. Yeah. He still is.
He's never stopped. That's right. Absolutely.
When I see pictures of him, I'm like,
he's still pursuing his mission. And, you know, yesterday when he got to meet the football team, he said that this week has been incredible for him.
That's great.
Coach Kiffin had a shirt on and he wanted one, and he literally took it off and gave it to him, which was, he really appreciated. He wore it all day yesterday. And he said there's one thing that can make this week better, and that's beating Kentucky tomorrow. So
thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network beginning at 3 Eastern.